Hello, and welcome to another episode of That Which Does Not Kill Us. I'm your host, Sarah Arnold, and I had a really great day yesterday, despite all of the circumstances. So, here, I'll tell you about it. I ended up traveling 2 hours northeast to attend the funeral services of one of my dad's sisters, and in the process, I got to spend some brief quality time with my oldest brother, my only cousin on that side of the family, and my father. Unbeknownst to me, my mother actually drove down and attended the services with us, and I'm gonna be real and say there's something almost surreal about being in that kind of, like, setting, you know. Like, it's probably not that peculiar for my oldest brother, because the entirety of his upbringing, you know, mom and dad were together, right? But for us younger siblings, that wasn't the case, and we got to experience, you know, a lot of the, you know, toxicity between mom and dad in varying degrees, you know, through the divorce. And so it was kind of weird, like, being in that circumstance where, like, it's me, my brother, mom, and dad, you know what I mean? Like, it really fucking strange, really, really fucking strange. Like, it wasn't bad. Like, and I think that's the thing that kind of gives me a sense of peace about it, is seeing my parents in an environment, you know what I mean, in a close proximity to each other, and seeing them, you know, being civil, and, you know, like, that's, to me, that's really fucking cool. You know, it's weird, because it goes against, you know, the emotional immaturity, you know, of my, and that they had during my upbringing, and, you know, some parts of my early adulthood. But it's nice, you know, it's heartwarming to see that kind of growth, you know, and it's kind of funny. So when we showed up, you know, we ended up going, obviously, and greeting my cousin, and we stood there and chatted for a while, and the lady, the minister, priest, I don't know, whatever, minister, I think, of the church, pretty much gathered. It was initially my cousin, my dad, my brother, and I, and then my mom popped up. And so, like, I, you know what I mean, she doesn't fucking know anybody else there, so I ended up, you know, kind of, like, leading her to come along with us, because, like, you don't fucking know anybody, bitch. So yeah, like, you're sitting with us, your family, you're, you know what I mean, like, you're the former sister-in-law of the deceased, and you're, you know, you still maintain a relationship with her, you know, despite the separation and divorce. And so, yeah, like, you're going to be sitting with us. And so I kind of, like, I could tell she was feeling really fucking awkward about it, but at the same time, like, it's one of those things where, like, what else do you do? So, like, I just come, like, come on, mom, and drug her around, basically. But like I said, like, overall, it was pleasant. We ended up going out to lunch, and it was nice. It was really nice to, like, listen to my cousin talk, and it was fascinating to hear, because so he and his mother and our grandmother ended up coming to visit us in Germany when we were children overseas, and it was fascinating to listen to him talk about how that experience had shaped, you know, his life, and, you know, that, like, getting to see, you know, parts of the world that he wouldn't have otherwise been able to at the time, you know, based on finances and his upbringing. And that's just really fucking cool. Like, it really gave it, like, I guess the experience of coming over really gave him the drive and desire to learn foreign languages, which is, like, that's fucking cool. Like, that, like, I don't know, it was fascinating to listen to. I also enjoyed my brother, like, had some really interesting questions, and I enjoyed, like, not only hearing my brother's questions, but also hearing my cousin's responses to them. And so, you know, after lunch, we ended up separating ways, and my brother and I ended up ditching our dad, basically, and we went to go to our aunt's house, our aunt and uncle's house, which is where our mom was staying, and, you know, proceeded to get more family time in there. My brother left relatively early because he was responsible for our father, and I feel like there's so much of the day that really I feel like there's some kind of a weird, like, synopsis of what it's going to be like. I don't know how to say this without it sounding, like, really fucky, but I feel like it's almost like a picture of, like, what the expectation of responsibility is going to be when these parents pass. And by that I mean, you know, at least currently, due to our circumstances and our locations, that how it's going to transpire is in terms when our dad passes. There's a good probability my oldest brother is gonna, you know, be the responsible sibling, or, you know, the most responsible sibling in that circumstance out of all of us four kids. And again, same principle applies to me in the case of our mother, because, you know, he all of his children are adults, and, you know, the stage of his life that he's at, and then, you know, our father being where he is, it's right up the street, right? But then at the same time, I feel like the same principle applies when it comes to when our mom passes away as well, because, like, of I don't have any minor children. I don't have any children, but, you know, whatever. I don't have any minor children, and I'm also not that far comparatively to where our mom is. And so if I was a betting person, I would bet money that, you know, when that comes to pass, that the responsibility of handling her affairs, it's, you know, and it's probably going to be both he and I comparing notes if I had to bet money when all of that comes to pass. The primary responsibility is going to be held by him and myself. And so it's kind of weird, like, because it's comical because, like, the circumstances of the day, he was responsible for our dad, and, you know, I was pretty much, the way we split off, I ended up being responsible and hanging out with our mom. And it was kind of, like I said, weird to think about it that way, but it's honest. And then at the same time, like, I ended up sitting and having a really good conversation with my mom, my aunt, and my uncle. And, you know, it was fascinating because one of the things that we had talked about, like, we'd gotten into the topic of, like, trauma and family systems, and my aunt had opened up about some experiences from when they were younger. Like, it wasn't, like, too detailed, but what she had brought up is having abandonment issues that she carries because of some of the circumstances from their youth. And, like, what she had said is, she's like, don't get me wrong, I love my mom, but she wasn't there when we needed her. And then they had gotten, like, it was really fascinating and beautiful just to listen to, you know, the previous generation on the side of the family have this conversation. And what she was talking about is how they were left in the care of unsafe people at, you know, a time in which that was not okay, or, you know what I mean? They didn't feel safe, basically, with the circumstances, and that was the general census of all of the sisters in the family, but the brothers in the family, like, did not have the same experience. And I interjected at that point that, you know, the reason why is because a man's experience in the world overall is different than a woman's in terms of what the interpretation of safety is. A man just in the world in general is safer by and large, you know, as a standalone entity than what a woman is. Now, if you translate that down into childhood, I feel as though this similarly applies to boys versus girls. It's just being able to elaborate on what those feelings are and understand that conceptually, I can say with certainty, I feel like it's lost on the population, or it's just, maybe it's not in the conscious thought. You know what I mean? It's like subconsciously we are aware of these things, but consciously being able to put a label and, you know, things like that. And I said that I could definitely relate. And in the context of the conversation, I had gotten into, you know, my marriage, and I said, it's funny because, you know, like, I understand this. This is the concept of generational trauma. You know, my grandmother stayed in an unhealthy relationship with my grandpa. Therefore, you know, she passed that on to my mother, who passed that on to me. Like, I, conceptually speaking, I understand exactly what happened. Like, it sucks because it still happened. And I, like, in the circumstance, I was honest about the assault, you know, like, I'm not gonna, like, and that's the one thing where I will say, I'm not going to carry shame for having an honest dialogue about what fucking occurred. You know, the only thing that's, you know, different is, and we kind of agreed on it, is, you know, the good, like, with my mother and myself, and probably my grandma and my grandpa as well, you know, the good times were good and the bad times were bad. And that's what makes it toxic, because that's what makes the good times being good is what makes you stay, you know, despite, you know, how bad the bad is. And because of my mother's upbringing, she stayed because, you know what I mean? And I guess to that effect, that's something maybe I should send my mom, like, something to tell her thank you. I know it's fucked up, but there's a huge part of me that is really grateful that my parents could not agree on how to raise us in terms of, like, religious indoctrination, because they didn't agree. My mother was raised Catholic, and I don't really know how my dad was raised. I mean, the perception that I'm under is that he wasn't, because his father passed away when he was 9. So, either way, they didn't agree. So we were raised as fucking heathens, which I'm not mad about, because, you know, because of my background, I didn't have the same obligation to stay that my mother carried, despite the treatment that she received from my father. And so, yeah, like, I, and as fucked up as it sounds, there's a part of me that's also grateful that my father left, because, I don't know, it's kind of fucked up to think about, but really, if I didn't have that background of being a child of divorce, it may not have come so easily to me to make that decision, the first time, which I have thoughts on that I probably will save for another episode. That's okay. But the second time, you know, obviously it took a long time. Like, I was there for 15 fucking years, so it still took a long time to leave it, you know, and it took what it took for me to decide that I'm worth more than this. Like, yeah, it sucks. Like, it really fucking sucks to carry that. But at the same time, like, the flip side of that coin is, like, I'm happy for my mom in the fact that she got to experience the love that she did with her husband that passed away. And I'm happy for myself in that it may have taken a while, but I'm finally learning how to make choices that are in my own best interest, and what that looks like and what that means. And, you know, really getting the firm understanding of what a safe person is and what a safe person isn't. And, you know, at the same time, while experiencing, you know, immense varieties of PTSD triggers when engaging with other people, trying to navigate what, you know what I mean, what is and isn't worth my investment despite that. And that's where the learning curve really is, because, you know, when my nervous system dysregulation, because that's really what it is at the end of the day for me. I can't speak for fucking anybody else. I can only speak for myself. My PTSD and CPTSD triggers turn into extreme cases of nervous system dysregulation. And what that looks like is being flooded with stress hormones. You know, I'm in the process of learning what activates that and to what degree, in trying to figure out how to navigate that, you know, within the parameters of fucking stress and normal life and responsibility and relationships. And it's a fucking process. But at the same time, like, I'm happy that I'm still not stuck in that, in the environment that I was in within my second marriage. I'm happy. I'm proud of myself for fucking walking away from that. I'm disappointed that it took getting to the point that it did for me to do that. But if it never got to that point, I never would have left. I never would have learned. You know what I mean? Like, I never would have gone through, you know, the things that I've been through over the last few years. And I feel like those experiences have really gone a long way in teaching me my own value and what my experiences have brought into my awareness. And so there's a part of me that's really fucking sad. There's a part of me that still feels like I haven't fully mourned what I lost. But at the same time, the larger part of me, it feels triumphant in having experienced that. But the nervous system dysregulation, though, let me get back to that for just a second. What that is it's it's being like overwhelmed with stress hormones to the point where I can't fucking function. Like, my anxiety is so intense. I feel like I'm losing my fucking mind. Like, I'm not even kidding you. When that happens, I literally feel like I'm losing my fucking mind and, like, losing my grip on reality. It's intense. It's really, really intense. And it's, like, it's nonstop, like, activity, you know, with, like, the adrenaline and what's the other one? I'm drawing a cortisol. Sorry. Struggling for a second there. You know what I mean? Just being like doused in that and not being able to take it down, you know, and like having that happen, you know, over a prolonged period, it's a very, very difficult space to operate in. And that's what I'm learning to navigate. And I have been learning to navigate since 2021, is learning how to navigate those experiences when they arise. And I'll tell you the biggest thing that I've learned from all this. The biggest, like, outside of interpersonal relationships, the other thing that really is very largely impactful of this for me, I can't speak for anybody else, I can only speak for myself, is caffeine. I've come to realize through a trial and error process that my body cannot tolerate large amounts of caffeine anymore. Like, I used to really overdo it hard before all this shit came to pass. Like, I love caffeine and I miss caffeine, but, unfortunately I am not in a place where I can tolerate caffeine mentally or physically. And what's funny, not haha funny, I guess funny strange, is when caffeine, and too much is not a lot, too much is like one half calf coffee, okay, just to kind of put it in perspective. So when I pair too much caffeine, and again, I'm using that term really fucking loosely because it varies, so what that looks like with stressful interpersonal relationships, that shit is fucking diabolical. And so, yeah, that's my post-divorce experience, is learning how to navigate that. You know, learning how to navigate circumstances and surroundings where my body is telling me that my life is being threatened. And so, yeah, that's some fuck shit. But I'm still here. And I'm trying to figure out how to navigate through that fear when it arises. And I think that's the biggest challenge that I have to overcome when it comes to interpersonal relationships. Because, I don't know, it's really vexing to me to discover how some circumstances will put me in that space where I'm completely, like, it's just being doused in these fucking stress hormones, right? Like, some of them will put me in that space, but then others will put me in, like, I guess, to me, it's more of like a freeze or a fawn response. Like, that's how I fucking interpret it. But it's almost like the methodology through which I engage in dissociative behavior is, that's how I interpret that, is compartmentalizing and intellectualizing and, for lack of a better way of putting it, like, shutting off. It's like a complete fucking shutdown of my feelings. And it's so fucking, like, it's a peculiar touch of extremes to deal with. And it's really fucked up, because I feel like at this juncture, and I can't speak for anybody but myself, so this is just my own experience. I feel like at this juncture, the more threatening of the two is actually the one that sends me into that freeze or fawn or, the dissociative, like, compartmentalizing and shutting down. Like, it's fucked up and backwards, because I feel like there's something inside of my brain or my body, I don't know, where there's something very parallel about that concept to my marriage, the last one, not the first one. And so, because at the end of the day, what I realize is that what I was doing throughout the entirety of that fucking unhealthy relationship, I was fawning. Like, I was fawning to, you know what I mean? I was submitting to the will of my former spouse and literally losing myself in the process of that. And then carrying resentment for all of my unmet needs, you know? And so, yeah, like, I'm gonna be real, like, I won't even try to fucking navigate those situations if I feel like I'm, like, if I, like, I would rather navigate through all the crazy stress hormones than the compartmentalizing. And I think the reason why is because I know what the end result of that is. You know? Like, I've been down that road. Never again. Like, I fucking refuse. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it was a really interesting conversation in that I had with my aunt, my uncle, my mother. And I don't know. Like, it makes me happy for my aunt, because she got lucky as fuck. She found, like, a good-ass dude that, you know what I mean? Not, like, not just him, but his whole family basically, like, completely embraced my aunt, you know, and gave her, like, because he came from a fucking healthy, normal family, you know? Which is funny, because that makes me, like, what that reminds me of is my other brother and his new wife. Same principle applies. Like, she's fucking amazing. Like, she is absolutely fucking fabulous. And she comes from a healthy, loving, normal family. And so I think it's I think it's fucking fabulous for him that he found some, you know what I mean? Like, that he was able to find somebody like that and that loves him. Like, 100% fucking absolutely loves him. And, you know, she's willing to step into that role as, like, the stepmom for his daughters. And, yeah, like, it's cool because I'm sure they're not going to have that same fucking shit and, you know, floating around in their head that I do, you know, or that, like, my mom does. And that in and of itself is fucking amazing. So, yeah. That's pretty much all I have for this episode. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I want to thank you for tuning in. And as always, be well.